The Mishnah has a machloket between Rabbi Yossi and the Chachamim. Rabbi Yossi says, "L'chivush tayosi asav mishim roshon." What exactly is the machloket between Rabbi Yossi and the Chachamim? So Rashi and the Rambam have a machloket. Have a learn pshat. So Rashi learns that according to Rabbi Yossi, roshon is chayiv. It doesn't have to be dafki ksiva. If you make simonim or if you draw a picture, it's also a malach of ksiva. As opposed to the chachamim who say that it has to be ksiva, dafka kosev be'osiyos. Kosev shtei osiyos. And the Rambam learns that all the Tanaim agree that if you're roshem, if you draw a picture, that constitutes a melacha. The machlokes between Rabbi Yossi and the Chachamim is whether roshem is a told of kosev or the two independent of us. According to Rabbi Yossi, roshem and kosev are two independent of us. And the Rambam writes in the Pirush HaMishnah, if someone will be kosev in roshem, be'elam echor, he'll be chayiv shtei chatoris. Very strange, Rabbi Yossi disagrees with the famous Mishnah Daf Ayin Gimel. It lists off all the obvious malachas, and Rabbi Yochanan comments in the Gemara, why does the Mishnah give you the number of 39? To teach you that in Mason Kula Mehela Mechot, Chayv Kalach Zas, Chayv 39 Chatoz. So currently Rabbi Yossi is going to be Chayv 40 Chatoz. Unless Rabbi Yossi will knock out one of the other obvious, and it'll turn out in the end it's going to be 39. Very strange. So again, according to the Rambam, everybody agrees that roshim is a malacha. The only machlokes is roshim a told of kosev, or is roshim an independent of malacha? And kosev is an independent of malacha. And according to Rabbi Yossi, one of those kosev and roshim halamecha would be chayv shtayim. Yes. The Mishnah Brura refers you to this machlokes Rashi and the Rambam, how to read the Mishnah, and Hilchas Tfilin. What's it doing in Hilchas Tfilin? The Gemara and Menachas quotes three different Tanoim who sound like they're saying the same thing, that Tfilin Shel Yad have to be placed on the left arm. But each Tana learns it out from a different pasuk. So one Tana knows it. One Tana establishes based on other Tzukim in Tehillim that Stam Yad is small. How does the pasuk say? Af Yodi Tovcha Oretz Vimini. The mina tovcha shamayim. What? Af yodi yostar is mini tovcha shamayim. So if the yemini means the right hand, so yodi refers to the left hand. So one Tana says that stam yad in Tanakh has the connotation of the left hand. So that's how he knows kshatim lo sal yadecha should be the left hand. The other Tana says that he knows that it's the left hand because the pasuk says, it's the same hand that does the kshira. The kshira means the hiduk. And the shal yad is supposed to do the ksiva. So the yad hakosevis, if a person is a righty, so the yad hakosevis is the right hand. So the yad hakosevis should do the kshira, namely the hiduk and the tefillin. So obviously the tefillin is going to be on the left arm. According to that Tana, what if a person is a lefty and he does his writing with the left hand? Then the Gemara says, Anita Yad will put the tefillin on the right arm. Shad is the first Tana who said that Stam Yad in Tanakh refers to the left hand. Will he agree also that if a person is Anita Yad and he puts the tefillin on the right hand? Or perhaps he'll disagree. Perhaps he holds no, that it's always placed on the left arm. Because Stam Yad in Tanakh is the left arm. Boshab Shad and Gemara that they disagree. Then the third Tana establishes that the tefillin have to be placed on the left arm because out of the four times that the mitzvah of tefillin appears, so once it says Ekshartam Yos Al Yodcho in the parsha of tefillin, Yodcho is spelled Yud Dalet Chof Hey instead of being spelled correctly Yud Dalet Chof. So why is it spelled Yud Dalet Chof Hey? It refers to the Yad Keha, to the weaker of the two hands. So if a person is a righty, then the left arm is the weaker of the two hands. Again, what if the person is a lefty? Then the right arm will be the weaker of the two arms. Then the third Tana will agree with the second Tana that one is a lefty, should put the tefillin on his right arm. It would appear, however, that there should be a machlokes, a detailed machlokes between the second Tana and the third Tana. What if a person writes with his right hand, but he does all the other malachas with the left arm? So which is the Yad Keha, the right arm, but the Yad HaKasev is right to the right arm, so you should put the tefillin on the left arm. So according to the third Tana, who learns out, who establishes that tefillin have to be placed on the left hand, based on the drosh of Yud Dalet Chofeh Yad Keha, then the Chor should depend which is the weaker of the two hands. You have to take into consideration all the activities that the person does, as opposed to the second Tana, who says that the Ukshartam, Uksaftam, the Yad HaKoseves has to do the Hiduk, so whichever is the Yad HaKoseves wins. So that seems to be Poshub Shatimah, that there are three opinions in the Tanoim. How do you paskan Aloch HaLamaisa? That's the question. So the Ramah and Hilchas Tfilin paskans like the middle Tana, that it all depends on the Yad HaKoseves. If the person writes, with the left hand, then he does all the other pullers with the right hand. So he says the Yad HaKoseves wins, and he should put the tefillin on the right arm. The Mishkan Es Yankiv has a tshuva where he also assumes al pi pashtus that the three Tanaim disagree with each other with Nafkaminas Ludina, and he thinks it's not so obvious that we should paskal like the Ramah, like the middle Tana. He thinks we should always follow the majority of the opinions. You should follow two out of three Tanaim. So it comes out very relevant halacha l'maaseh. So the Mishnah Berurah there in Hilchas Tefillin has the following discussion. The Mishnah Berurah defends the Psak HaRamah. The Ramah says which arm you put the tefillin on is determined by which arm does the ksiva, and you ignore all the other activities. A person plays ball and he does other things. You ignore all the other activities. You just consider the Yad HaKoseves. So then the Mishnah Berurah raises the question, what if the person can't write at all? What if the person does know how to write at all? Doesn't use either hand to write. So he's potter from tefillin. So we assume no. We assume that since you go baser right, since rope people, that's a person shalat b'shtei yadav. He can equally use either hand for writing after doing other malachas. So the Gemara says shalat b'shtei yadav. You go baser right b'nei yadav. Most people are right. So he puts the tefillin on his left arm. So what if a person never writes at all? So also you go baser right b'nei yadav, and he puts the tefillin on his left arm. So the Mishnah Berurah raises the question, what happens if the person doesn't know how to sign his name in any recognizable alphabet? He can't write English, he can't write Hebrew, he doesn't write any Greek, he doesn't write Arabic, but when he signs a check, he makes a bunch of X's. He draws a picture. So the Mishnah Berurah thinks that this should be, is that called the Yad HaKoseves? And he always does it with the left hand or with the right hand, whichever. So is that considered the Yad HaKoseves or not? So there is a machlekes in our Mishnah, Rabbi Yossi and the Chachamim, and we don't pass like Rabbi Yossi. We pass like the Chachamim. Where does that lead us? So according to Rashi, Roshem, this is exactly the machlekes of Rabbi Yossi and the Chachamim, whether Roshem is included in Kosev or not. So since we pass like the Chachamim, Roshem is not included in Ksiva. So there is no Yad HaKoseves in this case. If the fellow does not have to sign his name in any accepted alphabet, he just draws a picture, he just draws a whole bunch of X's or something. So that's, there is no Yad HaKoseves, he puts his tefillin on the left hand. As opposed to the Rambam, the Mishnah Berurah says, the Rambam learns that the Machleg Zab Yosef and the Chacham only was, whether Roshim and Kosev are separate of his, or Roshim is a told of Kosev. We pass for Allah, Roshim is a told of Kosev. So he thinks, one could argue the point, Mishnah Berurah thinks that this should lead one to believe that one who knows how to be Roshim, his name, he draws a picture or something, he doesn't really write in any recognizable alphabet, that he, according to the Rambam, even though we pass on like the Chachamim Rabbi Yossi, that is a form of Ksiva. One could argue the point and say no, that it's only Ksiva if he knows how to do the Av, namely writing an alphabet. If he just knows how to draw a picture, maybe that's only a told, and it's not called Kosev. That's what the Mishnah Berurah thinks. We mentioned there is a question, let's say, if in New York, when the babies are born, so they take a fingerprint of the mother and a footprint of the baby to make sure that they don't mix up the mothers with the babies. So let's say a baby is born on Shabbos, is it permissible to make a fingerprint? So if I just, if they take my finger and they push it down on the pad and then they push it down on the piece of paper, so they did the whole melacha. I'm just, you say, yeah, yeah, but mamish. I just passively, I don't get involved. I don't fight to them. They do the whole melacha. The question is, what if, am I allowed to help them? They ask me, press your finger down over here, and then press your finger down on the piece of paper and make a fingerprint. Would that be an issa? So the Ragat Shove writes that this should be, according to Rashi, this is Roshe. According to Rashi, according to the Chacham and the Rabbi Yossi, there's no melacha deraisa over here. According to the Taz, it'll be a problem, Ms. Talmud. Yeah, if you can avoid it, you have to avoid it. Yeah, how can you avoid it? Tell them on religious grounds, I'm not allowed to. Yeah, Ms. Talmud. The Taz is machmer. I'm saying, yeah, yeah, but mamish, whenever the melacha is done by goofing, Ms. Talmud, he would be machmer over here also. I imagine so. So according to the Rambam, Roshim is a malocha deraisa. So this would be deraisa. According to Rashi, since we paskin like the Chachamim de Rabbi Yossi, so Roshim is not even a toldo of kosei. So there won't be an issa deraisa. Will it be an issa derabbanan? So Rashi doesn't say. Would there be an issa derabbanan if a person does Rishima? That's a question. The Gemara comments on the first line of the Mishnah that it says it doesn't make a difference whether it's kosher bein mimina bein b'smolo. How can that be? Isn't that kalachayad? If a person is a writing, he writes with his left hand, is not kalachayad. Unless you talk about a case of sholik b'shtei yodov, so there's no issue of kalachayad. But otherwise, it should be kalachayad. Just parenthetically, what is this din of kalachayad? It's a special din that only applies in Hilchos Shabbos, because we require Malachas Machsheves. Whenever a person does a Malacha, either Shinoi Kalacha Yad, it lowers it down to the level of the Rabbanon. Or perhaps we should assume that the detail over here of Ksiva Kedarka as opposed to Kalacha Yad should apply in Kala Torah Kula, even with respect to writing a get, and even with respect to writing Sefer Torah Tefillin and Mezuzah. Let's say a person will do the Ksiva, a person is a righty, and he writes Tefillin and Mezuzah, so he writes a get this small. Is there room to say that it would be possible? So this is a discussion in the Beis Yosef and in the Beis Shmuel and Hilchos Gittin. Some Achrenim came up with such an idea. The Pashtus says that's only a din in Hilchos Shabbos. But the Beis Yosef came up with such an idea that maybe it should be possible even in Sefer Torah, Tefillin and Mezuzah. One could say, okay, it's possible in Sefer Torah, Tefillin and Mezuzah, because the Gemara has a brisa later on the 10 lines from the bottom of Kuf Gimel Amud Beis, Chsav Tom should take Siva Tamo. That all the yoseis have to be written properly, in a pretty fashion. Ksiva tama. So I can understand if a person is a righty, writes with the left hand, it's going to be a lack of ksiva tama. So maybe it's only a psul and say, if it's a psul and mezuzah, what about by get? By get, there's no halacha, it has to be ksiva tama. If he writes sloppily, it's also going to be a kosher get. As long as they write the shema. So the original Beis Yosef only says it. The original Chiddush of the Beis Yosef was only regarding Sefer Torah, Tefillin, and Mezuzah. And then the Beis Shmuel and the Pri Chodosh and Ebenezer suggested that maybe one should extend this even to Ksivas HaGet. If the Sefer is a writing, writes a get with his left hand, so maybe such a get should be possible. The whole discussion is very difficult. The Pashtus and the Gemara that it's only a din in Hilchos Shabbos shouldn't even apply to Sefer Torah, Tefillin, and Mezuzah. The discussion came up because of the Medrash that says, the two Medrashim, there's one Medrash that says that Moshe Rabbeinu died on a Shabbos, and Tosfos and Menachos quotes the Gaonim, that's why we say Tzidkoscha, by Mincha, it's a Tzidik Adin for the death of Moshe Rabbeinu, and that's why in Shulchan Aruch they quote a Minik from the Gaonim, that we don't sponsor a public shiur on Shabbos afternoon between Mincha and Ma'ariv. The Rabbi usually gives a Drosha, but he doesn't give a public shiur because the Gemara and Ma'ariv Katan has a din Chacham Shemeis based Midrasha at Batel. Moshe Rabbeinu was everybody's rabbi. He was a Chacham Shemeis and he died on Shabbos. He didn't die this Shabbos, but we act as if every Shabbos is his commemoration of the death of Moshe Rabbeinu. So we are mevatel every public shiur. It's such a minig not to have. Many communities don't have the minig, but many do have the minig, not to give a public shiur in halacha in between Mincha and Ma'ariv. So the Beis Yosef raises a question: that on the one hand there's a medrash that Moshe Rabbeinu died Shabbos afternoon, on the other hand there's a medrash that Rashi quotes on Chumash that the day that Moshe Rabbeinu died he completed the writing of the 13 Sifrei Torah, and one of them he gave to Shevet Levi and the other 12 he gave to the other Shvatim. So if you put two and two together, he died on Shabbos, and in the day that he died, if you take it literally, the day that he died he completed the writing of the 13 Sifrei Torah, so he was writing on Shabbos. So the suggestion that Beis Yosef comes up with is that maybe he completed the writing of the Sefer Torah with his left hand. That would be kosher for Ksiva Sefer Torah, but it would be Potter and Hilchos Shabbos. I Potter Avalasar. So the suggestion was made, maybe this din, a Potter Avalasar, Kaisa Bismolo, is also in the Rabbanon, because Plachayat, maybe that was only introduced in later generations. During the lifetime of Moshe Rabbeinu, perhaps they still didn't have that din the Rabbanon. So this is a question that the Poskim discussed. Is that Nitan Lehayomer, the teretz that the Beis Yosef gave, that he wrote Sefer Torah on Shabbos and Sefer Torah kosher, unique Ksiba for Sefer Torah, so for the purpose of Hechsher Sefer Torah, it is called Ksiba. And for the purpose of Malach Shabbos, not called Ksiba. The same activity is labeled as Ksiba for Sefer Torah to be Machsherid, and it's not labeled as Ksiba for Hilchos Shabbos. I don't see why not. Because Shabbos is a din kalachayad is mutam and atorah. They never made it there to Rabbanon. So it is called ksiv, just that it's a kalachayad. And for Sefer Torah is kosher. So this is a question. Is that niktan lehayomer? Is that shaykh to say that the same activity is labeled as ksiv with respect to Hechshara Sefer, and it's not labeled as a malachas kaisu for Shabbos purposes? No. That's a shaykh. We had a bit of a related, not similar at all, we had such a related topic. There's a famous machlokes between the Rashbo and the Ran regarding the Gemara on the bottom two lines on Kuf Dalet on the base. The Gemara says if you have a ches and the fellow really needs two zayins, so if not lo begaga shol ches laso shnei zayinim, that constitutes kosev shtei yosias b'shabbes and he's chayv if he needs the two zayins. It's a place where he needs two zayins. So the Rashbo raised the question, why shouldn't I consider this chok toichos? There is a Gemara in Gittin, the chok toichos is possible for ksivas aget, and chok toichos is possible for ksivas sefer Torah and for ksivas what they can go to wear? That's the Kodesh Lashem. It's this. So the Gemara says chok toichos is possible for the ksivas atzitz also. So it seems that chok toichos is psul and ilchos ksiva all the time. Shouldn't this be? The Gemara draws a distinction between chok toichos as opposed to chok yerechos. If a person, let's say, carves out the yerech, he has a block of wood, he has a block of metal, and he etches into the metal or into the wood, he scratches out osius. That's the yerech of the osius, the limbs of the osius. So that is ksiva. Chakika is also a form of ksiva. It's not ksiva for a sefer Torah, but it's ksiva for, again, ksiva for other purposes.
Isn't the sheet of a basa that Moshe Nachrook in the Torah daft the way it was not kosher for Torah?
Pardon me, the what?
That Moshe, when he finished the Torah, the Nachrook Torah, he actually wrote it in a way that was daft and not kosher for Torah, which is not kosher for Torah, so why is it okay? How he got it? The basa?
That he wrote it in a fashion. The dimma means kalachayan.
I thought we explained it. I don't know if that means
the
way that was writing,
but
not kosher for Torah.
I don't know. Some unfortunately say that he wrote with tears instead of ink. Because the dimma, that the liquid that he used was not ink, it was tears. That's not the pasuk pshat in the mind. Pasuk pshat that he wrote it with, he was crying. He was crying as he wrote it, and he wrote it with ink. Pasuk pshat in the mind. So here the Rashbo raises an issue. If you have a ches and you remove the gago shal ches and it's converted into two zayins, so you had a dalid and it's supposed to be a resh over there, so you take off the tag of the dalid and you convert it into a resh. So if you create a letter by removing something, isn't that considered chok toiches as opposed to chok yerechos? Chok yerechos would be by chakike. The term chok toiches yerechos is talking about a chakike. If a person is writing a get, he doesn't necessarily have to write with ink on top of the background, on top of paper, on top of parchment, he can engrave the get in a piece of wood, and it'll also be good, or engrave the get in a piece of metal. So if he engraves the get in a piece of wood or metal by scratching out the yerech, the limbs of the oisios, so that constitutes tziva. But if he's going to engrave the get by carving around the letters, and the middle of the letters will be bole, so that's like that's called chok hatochos. He carves out the middle part, let's say a letter hey. So he shaves out the middle part, and he shaves around the letter hey. Mamela, the letter hey will be higher than the rest of the background. So chok tochos, the Gemara says, is not called ksiva. So isn't this the same thing? Let's say you have ink, a blotch of ink on a piece of paper, and you start erasing sections in such a way that a letter now stands out. You didn't put the ink there, the ink was there from before. Someone else put the ink from before. And you erase the inside of the letters and the around and around, so the mele, the ink that remains, creates a letter. So that's chok teches. That chok teches is not chok siva. So shouldn't this be the same? So the Rashba says, you see from this Gemara, the Rashba assumes that chok teches is not chok siva for a get, and it's not chok siva for the tzitz, so the mele is not chok siva for Shabbos either. So the fact that the Gemara says here, that if you remove the gag of the ches, you remove the tag of the dalet, and you convert it into two zions, or you convert the dalet into a resh, that it's chayim mishum Shabbos, so you see from this Gemara that this is not called chok teches. This is kosher. How in the world could it possibly not be called chok teches? Al pi pashtus it's mamsh chok teches. So it's a pele what the Rashba says, unless the Rashba means to say that the fellow originally wrote a ches on Shabbos, and the same person who wrote the ches, he's now not called the gag of shol ches. So it comes out, it's a long act of ksiva. If you put together what he did 20 minutes ago with what he does now, originally he wrote a dalet, and then he realizes he doesn't need a dalet, he did a resh, so then he erased part of the dalet. So if you put together what he did originally with what he does now, that's perhaps what the Rashba says, that it's not called chok teches. But otherwise, if he just comes up to a ches and erases the tag of the gaga shol ches, l'chor should be a chok teches. Anyway, the Rashba is assuming that chok teches by Shabbos would be potter, because chok teches is a lack of ksiva and kol ha'tar kula. And the Ran quotes this Rashba, and he says he doesn't understand how in the world can not be chok teches. It certainly is, but the answer is that in Hilchos Shabbos, the melacha of ksiva doesn't require that I should do a ma'aseh ksiva. If I do a stunt, and somehow or another, by doing chok teches, I accomplish that a ksav appears, so causing a ksav to appear is also called a violation of melacha's ksiva. That's the machlokes over here between the Rashba and the Ran. So they do have a machlokes. The Ran distinguishes between kosei by Shabbos and kosei by Sefer Torah. He thinks that chok teches would be chayv on Shabbos, and in Sefer Torah and a get it would be posel. That the two do not have to be equated. So over here also, in a get to the din of kalach hayad, you also don't have to equate the two. It's not mukhach that they have to be totally zebezeh. Anyway, so the Gemara raised the question over here, how can the Mishnah say that a kosei bei yamin and bei mishmol should be chayv? Shouldn't I say that ksiva bismol should be kalach hayad, either a local din in Hilchos Shabbos that is lacking melachos machshavos, or perhaps it's even a din of kol ha'tar kula that is not called ksiva? So to this, the Gemara answers two answers. The first answer is the Mishnah is talking about a shoda b'shtei yodov, okay? So there's no kalach hayad. And the second answer is hamani rabbi yosi diyama lechi b'shtei yosi sal mishum roshim. If you chayiv on roshim, so roshim does make a difference, but he do be min of the small. If you only chayiv on ksiva, so ksiva the small is going to be kalach hayad, is going to be sloppy. But if you chayiv on roshim, so what's the difference? But he do the rishima be min of the small. It doesn't have to be fancy. It doesn't have to be neat. So this is neat on the hayomer. We understand the gemara if you hold like Rashi that the machlekes are biyosin nechachamim is, but the roshim is chayiv and roshim is pot. But if you hold like the Rambam that everybody agrees that roshim is chayiv, the only machlekes is roshim, an independent av malacha, the two others, an av of kosev and an av of roshim. Or there's only one av malacha of kosev and roshim is a told of kosev, but everybody's masking that roshim is chayiv. So what does the Gemara say over here? Well, what did the Gemara say? That a kosev bismolo will be chayiv, even though it's kalach hayad, if you hold like Rabbi Yosi, that roshim is an av bifnei atzmo. But if you hold like the chachomim, that roshim is a told of kosev, then kosev bismolo will be potter. Why? But roshim self is chayiv. So let it be chayiv. Very unclear. So the Yosamir says something that apparently the Rambam You have to say something in the Rambam. The Rambam writes it in the Pirush HaMishnayos. So it must have been looking at the Gemara, and this is what he wrote. Pshat in the Gemara, Pshat in the Mishnah. So the Asamech just points out, if you do Rishima Bismol, that's normal. But if you do Ksiva Bismol, that's abnormal. So if you hold like the Chachamim, the Rabbi Yossi, that the Ab Malach is Kosei, and the Ksiva is normally done Bimin, so then the Gemara says, this malach has to be done bimin. The ab malach is kaveya, the nature of the malach, when is it called kalachayar and when not. So even though, alibi Rabbi Yossi, there's a separate ab malach of roshem, there's nothing wrong with roshem bismol, roshem bismol same as roshem bimin, that's alibi Rabbi Yossi, the Gemara says. So even if you write oisi ois, you'll be chai mitam roshem, won't be chai mitam kosev probably, you'll be chai mitam roshem, because roshem bismol is normal. But according to the Chachamim de Rabbi Yossi, that Roshim is a told of Kosev, even though Roshim is small, is normal, but since it's a told of Kosev, and Kosev normally is done bimin, so the Ksiva with the Rishim have to be done bimin. Very unclear. Yeah?
I'm actually not sure about this, because if we were to say that the person who did the Roshim were put, we wouldn't say that they're Hayal per se. That we're saying that with the, doing with the small is an abnormal way of doing it. Not that it's needed. I mean, I would understand it to be neat, not neat. And it's very simply because it's more difficult for the person to manipulate their left hand. It's like the same thing as if they were doing with their elbow or they were doing with their foot. You should put a sword, not because of the neatness, but because of the fact of the difficulty that it takes it. And that's the shinui.
Okay, good. Cool. I mean, why is it called kalahayad? I think it's called Kalachayad, not necessarily because it's sloppy. Even if it comes out neat later, it's going to be on a typewriter. The guy only types with his right hand. He only types with one hand. He doesn't want to type with two hands. And then on Shabbos, he's going to be typing with his left hand. He's going to come out just as pretty because it's on a typewriter, but it was more difficult for him because he's not pashut, not used to writing with the left hand. So it'll also be called Kalachayad. Could be. Could be, you're right. Could not. Could be. Probably are right. The Egle Tal has a famous piece where he says that there is a din of Kalachayad in Hilchos Shabbos, and once in a while we find a din of Kalachayad in Kol HaTorah Kula and other areas as well. But he says it's based on two different klolim. By Hilchos Shabbos is based on Malachas Machshavas HaSatur, so Kalachayad is a hetem in HaTorah. In other areas of Halacha, if it's Kalachayad, so by definition it's not called Ksiva, or whatever it is that you're talking about. So he says, L'chapa nafkemine, that by Hilchos Shabbos it'll be considered Kalachayad, even if the nifal will be the same, even if the accomplishment will be exactly the same, as long as the pula that you did was in an unusual fashion, even though the results come out to be the same. But in Kol HaTorah Kula, whenever there is a din of Kalachayad, that it doesn't count, that's only if the end result is going to be different. But that's what he points out in Hilchos Shabbos, like you said, Hilchos Shabbos, even if it doesn't come out to be sloppy, it'll still be Kalachayad if it's more difficult for him to do it bismol.
Right, so why in the case of Milan, right, Kavdokos, why
didn't you say that Kalachayad? Every Chok Tocha should be Kalachayad. I don't think it's true. Let's say he has a Ches and he needs two Zions. So why should he cross out the Ches and write two Zions if he has an eraser? Let him erase the top of the ches and he'll be left with the two zayin. I don't know if that's kalachayah. Maybe that's the normal way of doing it. Kalachayah means that the pula was done in an abnormal fashion. And here, it probably was done in a normal fashion. Just like it's an issue of chok teiches. The Ran says, so what? He says that there's a din of chok teiches and Hilchos Shabbos.
But let's take the case that he has an ink and he erases part of the ink.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, if under the circumstances that's a normal way to do it, that would be normal. It would be a problem of chaktaychus, an issue of chaktaychus, but it won't be a problem of abnormalcy. That's normal. So in that Gemara on the top of Kuf Hei Amid Aleph, the Gemara says, Loi kasha hod de boi ziyuni hod de la boi ziyuni. So the simple reading of the Gemara, Rashi learns, ziyuni refers to tagim, that there are certain letters in Ksav Ashuris, when you're writing a Sefer Torah, Tefillin, and Mezuzah, the letters Shinai, Tes, Nun, Zayin, Shatnez, Getz, these seven letters require tagim on top, three tagim, one to the right, one to the left, one in the middle, a milo. So the simple reading of the Gemara sounds like it says that if you write on Shabbos without tagim, you're not chayiv. So how can that be? Well, tagim is a din. Tagim is a din in ksiva and kol haterakula. When you write a get, you also need tagim. Tagim is a din in the tzuras ha'isiyos. That's a fella. So we had, there was one opinion in the Rishonim, Shita Yechidor, a very unusual opinion, that Kosev on Shabbos is only chayiv if he writes either in Ksav Ashuris or in Ksav Yevonis. Why dafka one of these two Ksavim? It's based on the Mishnah in Gittin. The Mishnah speaks about a get that's written in Greek and the signatures were written in Ksav Ashuris, or the get is written in Ksav Ashuris and the signatures are written in Greek. One of the two signatures is in Greek, one of the two signatures is in Ksav Ashuris. Why does the Mishnah only talk about Yevonis and Ashuris? No kasha. So these Rishonim thought that was a kasha. Not necessarily a kasha. Maybe there was Maisa Mechayam. That's the way they did it. Some people didn't know how to sign Ashuris. They used to sign Yevonis. They discovered such shtoris, where they were signing Ksav Yevonis. So these Rishonim, this small group of Rishonim, very tiny group of Rishonim, they insist no. That the reason why the Mishnah gives these Mishalim is because the Halacha only recognizes two written alphabets, the alphabet of Ksav Ashuris and the alphabet of Ksav Yevonis. Meicha Teisa, why should that be so? This is based on the Mishnah in Megillah. That the Mishnah Megillah says that he can only, we paskin, lehitir a list of Svarim Eli Yevonis Bavad. Tefillin and Mezuzah can only be written in Ksav Ashuris. If you write Tefillin and Mezuzah in another script, it's not going to be kosher. So if it's Torah, is a machlekes atanoim, and we paskin like the Tana there in the Mishnah Megillah that you can only write the Sefer Torah, the Tanakh can only be written in Ksav Yevonis. If you written in any other Ksav, it won't have a din of Kedushas Sefer Torah.
The Ketav that we're using now is sufficiently different from the Ketav that they were using back in the time of the Mishnah, that the Ashur Kedushah was so different. According to this opinion, would be Hayav because the language has changed since we said by Greek. The Greek has changed so much that that's now for the sake of Torah. We say also that if the Asherit has changed so much, or that.
Maybe we should say all the Sifrei Torah. We should say all the Sifrei Torah are possible because the Ksav Ashuris has changed so much since the days of the Tanoim. So all the Sifrei Torah should be possible. Something to ponder. I don't know. I think we usually lengthy as a Torah Mondays and Thursdays. We usually assume that it's kosher to say the Torah. We usually assume that it's kosher to say the Mezuzah. Why can't it change so much? Change significantly.
It's been the other way that all the old stops have been made
I don't know. It's a major problem. I don't know. That someone has to do some research on the topic. I don't know. So there is such a minority opinion that based on that Mishnah in Megillah that we pass in Lahitir Shiichtavu Svar Melabi Ivanis Bovad, that the only two scripts that are the only two alphabets that are recognized by the Halacha Biksav are Yevonis and Ashuris. How many languages are recognized as a spoken language? So that the Halacha says we pass from the Halacha that Kriya Shema Nemeres B'chol Loshon, that Kriya Shema can be recited as a Machlokes HaTanoim. One Tana insists Kriya Shema can only be fulfilled in the original Hebrew, and we pass from that Kriya Shema Nemeres B'chol Loshon, you can recite Kriya Shema in translation as well. So which translation? Only in Greek? No. So the Halacha recognizes English and French and Yiddish and Spanish. All the languages will be recognized. So unlike the spoken language, the Halacha recognizes all spoken languages. It's also a question, how many people have to speak the language that it should be recognized as a language? If a person makes up his own Pig Latin, a person makes up his own secret code, and he says, when I say this, it means this, when I say that, it means that. No one else speaks that language. There is no city, there is no country in the world where they speak that language. Is that recognized as a language, as a spoken language or not? So that's a question. On the first Mishnah in Nazir, the Arach Misha quotes on Yerushalmi that even if one person makes up his own language and uses that language, that's considered dibur. That's considered nefesh kisishav alavate bisvasayim, and a neder or a shvua or a naziris would be chal and would be binding if he uses such a language, even though there's no country in the world where they speak that language. And others are not so convinced that we should accept that Talmud Yerushalmi. And they're not sure how many people have to have accepted this language. How common does the language have to be used that it should have the status of a language? That's what Shaila did. But as far as Ksav is concerned, so here you have a minority opinion that the Halacha only recognizes two scripts, two alphabets, only Ksav Ashuris and Ksav Yevonis, and that's how they read this Gemara. Hod the law boys the unit. If you need Tagim on the two Zions, and you didn't put Tagim yet, then you're not going to be Chayv. If you have Tagim, so then you will be Chayv. So the simple reading of the Gemara, the way Rashi translates the Yuni, means Tagim. Simple reading of the Gemara sounds like you're only Chayv on Ksav Ashuris. If you're Chayv, if you write other languages as well, if you're Chayv on English, so why shouldn't Ksav Ashuris missing Tagim be Loigora from Rashi script, or be Loigora from English, or be Loigora from Arabic, if the halacha doesn't require dafke ksav ashuris? So that's what some rishonim insist, that you need dafke ksav ashuris. One could be matche and say no, that we're talking over here in an instance where not lo the gago shalches fasor shnei zainin in a mezuzah or in a sefer Torah, and in the mezuzah and a sefer Torah, in the context where it's written, it's only useful if it has tagim. So in this case, if you're going to write without tagim, you won't be chayv. In another instance, if you write Savashuris without Tagim, it'd be Loikora from writing Arabic, or Loikora from writing in English alphabet, Latin letters. But if the context happens to be talking about that, he's writing, that's what some Rishonim say, he's writing, say, for Torah Tefillin and Mezuzah, so there you need the Tagim. The Mishnah Berurah and the Aruch HaShulchan are both very upset about this, about the fact that the Ramah quotes this opinion of Shulchan Aruch. The Ramah quotes it Lahachmir. The Ramah doesn't quote it Lahakil. The Ramah quotes this Lahachmir. The Gemara says in the first parak in Gitnan, that Chesam Abeis, that Akona Soda Beretz Yisrael, B'Shabbos, if someone is buying a field from a Nochri, you're not allowed to buy a field from a Jew on Shabbos, but if a Nochri is auctioning off, a Nochri is prepared to sell the field on Shabbos, and that's the only day the Jew has an opportunity to buy it. There were times when the JNF used to buy fields on Shabbos. The Arabs were only selling wheat before, years before Hakamas HaMedina. So the JNF would send people to buy on Yom Kippur. There's a whole story written up. The Rav Kook told the representative of the JNF he should get a goy in a taxi to drive him to the place where they're buying, and the goy should do all the malachas. And he said that's what the Gemara says. Kosvim Malavona, Afilu the Shabbos. And the Gemara says, Kosvim Salkadaitach, that you're permitted to do Chilul Shabbos in order to buy, in order to redeem Eretz Yisrael from the goy. Mar says no, it means Amir al Nachri, even though usually Amir al Nachri is forbidden. So the Mokam Yishav Eretz Yisrael is permissible. So the Rishonim are bothered with the Kasha, why is the mitzvah of Yishav Eretz Yisrael more important than other mitzvahs in the Torah? Why should Dafka over here, why should you allow Dafka over here Amir al Nachri for the purpose of redeeming the field from the Nachrim, the field in Eretz Yisrael, and other mitzvahs you wouldn't allow Amir al Nachri? So some Rishonim said, Enoch Enami, the Ramah quotes the Balaita, Enoch Enami, any mitzvah is mutter, Amir Lenochri. Amir Lenochri is mutter, but welcome any mitzvah. Love Dafkin, welcome Yishav Eretz Yisrael. So this is usually not the generally accepted opinion. We don't really paskin like the Balaita. So what do we paskin? If it's a shvuz, the shvuz, but welcome mitzvah is mutter. Amir Lenochri, Anna der Rabbanon is mutter. How come over here we allow Amir Lenochri, Anna der Aisa? So the Ramah quotes from the Ozarua, this minority, should be minority opinions, that here it's also only a Malacha de Rabbanon. It's Amir al-Nachri to write. What language is the Nachri writing already? He's writing Greek. Well, he went to Yeshiva College and he knows Greek. He's writing Ashuris. He went to the class, he knows how to write Ashuris. He's writing Rashi in script. He's writing Arabic. He's writing a document in Arabic, or he's writing a Rashi script. He's not writing neither in Ksav Ashuris nor in Greek. So since it's Ksiva B'Shal D'Shoynis, and Allah only recognizes the script of these two alphabets, Ashuris and Yevonis, so the whole Ksiv is only the Rabbanon, and it's Amir al-Yakam, and the Rabbanon, Shvuz, the Shvuz, Mamakam, Mitzvah, is Mutter. Most of the Rishonim assume that neither answer is correct. Not the answer that Amir al-Yakam is Mutter, but Mamakam, Mitzvah, any Mitzvah, that what the Baluita said, nor this answer that Ksiv, Bashar, Lashonis is only the Rabbanon. They say no. Yishav Eretz Yisrael is, for some reason or another, a more important Mitzvah than other Mitzvahs. Maybe it's because it was a neglected Mitzvah, And the Chachamim felt we have to be mechazik it. So b'makom Yishev Eretz Yisrael v'gozer Rabbanon. Maybe because Yishev Eretz Yisrael is a mitzvah derabim. That's how the Ramban seems to say in the end of Masechah Shabbos. The two kinds of mitzvahs Yishev Eretz Yisrael. One is, let's say, I want to get a ticket to live in Eretz Yisrael. And there were times that in Russia, the Jews who wanted to move to Eretz Yisrael, they would only open up the travel bureaus on Shabbos. So you can only buy a ticket to move to Eretz Yisrael if you go be Michal Shabbos. So are you allowed to be Michal Shabbos or not? Would you allow Amir Eliyakim to be Michal Shabbos? And there was a big discussion in Poskim, and one of the earlier Achrenim writes that no, they only allowed Yishev Eretz Yisrael. The Mokum Yishev Eretz Yisrael means to buy up the land from the Goyim. Shouldn't be Tachas Shilten HaGoyim. But if I want to live Yeshiva Eretz Yisrael, I want to live in Eretz Yisrael, that's a different kind of a mitzvah, Yishev Eretz Yisrael. That's a mitzvah sayochid. That's a chavis sayochid. Yishev Eretz Yisrael to buy up Eretz Yisrael from the Nochrim, that's a mitzvah derabim. So the Ramban at the end of Shabbos sounds like he says like that. The Mokum Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, Hitiru Amir on the Nochri. Why? Because this is a mitzvah derabim. The Mishnah Berurah quotes that from the Chayei Yodam in a different context. That if the Yerah fell down on Shabbos and you think that it's impossible to notify everybody in the community that they should know that they shouldn't carry, for sure somebody's going to carry even though the Yerah fell down. So you can see that the Chayei Yodam considers this a mitzvah derabim. And he says, Amiru l'nachri is mutar b'maka mitzvah derabim. You can ask the guy even to do on b'locha deraisa, to take a nail and a hammer and a string and to tie and to bang and to do on b'locha deraisa. Mamish, why? Because Aminu Nachri is Mutar Ivan Ana Deraisa Mimakam Mitzvah Deram. And the Ramban seems to learn that that's what this Gemara is based on. That we allow Kosvi Mola Vonu Afilu B'Shabbos, we allow Aminu Nachri to write the Shtar even on Shabbos because it's a Mitzvah Derabim. To buy the land up from the Arabs is a Mitzvah Derabim. So this opinion, which is quoted by the Ramah quotes in Lechumra, that the Heter to do Aminu Nachri on Shabbos to buy up the land for the Nochrim only applies if the shtar is going to be written Mishalashanis. If the shtar will be written B'Ksav Ashuris, then the Ramah says you should be Machmer not to allow the Amir and the Nochrim. So the Ramah quotes the Ozerul L'chumra. He never quotes it L'kula. The writing in English or writing in Arabic is only the Rabbanan, therefore there's room to be Mekel, whatever. He never says like that. He says it L'chumra. So the Mishnah Berurah and the Orach HaShulchan are so upset. They don't think the Ramah should have even quoted it lechumra. Not lomer boy lekula that we don't accept this arzaruah. The ksiva b'shalushan is only the rabbanon. Even lechumra they think that it shouldn't have been quoted. Hashulchan goes so far as to write that he thinks that it was put in by the printer. He can't believe that the Ramah himself wrote this hagor. He thinks that it's a forgery. Mishnah Berurah doesn't say like that, but he thinks we shouldn't paskan like this Ramah. This is the shaila. How do we read the Mishnah? The Mishnah says b'chol oshen chayim. That's what the Bira Alocha raised the question. Doesn't the Mishnah say on Kuf Gimel Amin Aleph Hakoyse b'chol oshen es chayim? So the Mishnah Berurah explains. Apparently, this small group of Rishonim interpreted the words of the Mishnah. They translated b'chol oshen means if you're writing in Hebrew script in Ksav Ashura, it's a transliteration of English, a transliteration of Greek, or Spanish, or something. But you have to be writing either in Hebrew characters or in Greek characters. The halacha doesn't, according to this minority view, the halacha doesn't recognize any other alphabet other than Ksav Ashuris and Ksav Yevonis. It was a minhag still into the 1500s. The Maritatz was a rabbi in Constantinople. Maritatz, Rabbi Yosef Taitatzak, so he writes that during his lifetime, the 1550s, they still used to lay Mafta Yoina once a year on Yom Kippur from a cloth that was written in Greek, just to demonstrate that that's the halacha. The halacha allows you, like that Mishnah in the first perek in Megillah, the halacha says, Lahitiru sheyichtiv usvarim ela b'yivanis b'lvat, that a Tanakh that's written in Yivanis is also kosher. So once a year they would lay him after Yoyna. What if the auction it off? Who's going to lay in Greek? Who's going to want to lay in Greek?
The words were Greek or just translated into Greek?
I think it was translated into Greek. I think so. They hold that that's Ksav Ashuris. They're different practices. What constitutes Ksav Ashuris? So that most people use Ksav Bis Yosef. And the Hasidim use the Ksav Al-Bi'ari. And a lot of the Sfardim use what's called Ksav Velusha. Each one claims that this is the correct Tzura Sarisiyas of the Ksav Ashuris. That's the question. Which is the correct form of Ksav Ashuris? And the Ksav Velush, the Shin, has a flat bottom to it. So that's a problem that's against the Gemara. The Gemara says that MS, the Gemara says on Kuf Dalel Men Aleph, that MS, the letter Aleph has two legs, and the letter Mem has a bar on the bottom, and the letter Tav has two legs. The MS has a kiyum, has what to stand on. And Sheker is always standing on one leg, because the Shin comes to a point on the bottom. If the Ksav Elish were correct, that the Shin is supposed to have a flat bar on the bottom, so what does the Gemara say? That all the three letters of Sheker have no leg to stand on, just has one leg to stand on. So that's why the Mishneh Berurah quotes the Prima Gadim, who's mistupid, he's mistopic to say that maybe if you use a shin from Ksav Elish, it has a flat bar on the bottom, maybe it passes even with the other. There's a shayla, all the things that you see from the Gemara and Kuf Dalet, what the correct Surah Soisius is, doesn't mean that this is correct and the other way passes even with the other. Or do you say no? You can identify that it's a shin, even though it's not the way it's supposed to be written. But still, Sof Kosof, since everyone can tell that it's a shin, so maybe that would be kosher. The Gemara in Menachos that says sometimes if you're not clear what the Tzura Sois is, that yes, Katina Kalachakim Aleitipesh, and if the child can identify it, it's kosher. So in Shulchan Aruch they say that the Tinek Kalachakim Aleitipesh is only helpful if you're not sure whether it's a Vav or a Nun, a Yud, a Vav or a Nun, which is basically written the same except that it depends how long the letter is. It has the correct Tzura Sois. The only question is it too long, is it too short? What does it look like? But if you have, let's say, a ches, the child will identify that it's a ches, but it doesn't correspond to the way he's supposed to write a ches. Or you're going to have a shin. The child, of course, can identify. Everybody can identify that that's a shin. You don't have to be a genius. That's the way everybody writes a shin. But if it doesn't conform to the hilchos ksiba soisiyos, so that's what the Prima Gadim says that it should possibly be evident. And others were not so convinced that that all of these things should possibly be added. As long as he can tell what the Tzura Sois is, it would be kosher. The Shaila in Halachos. The Gemara has a detailed machlokes here about writing two letters. Hakosef Shtei Oisiyos B'Shabbos. Does it have to be Dafke Shei Mishimen Noach Mid? Nochor and Don with Daniel, God with Gadil, has to be two different letters. What if it's the same letter twice? Shin Shin, Tav Tav, Resh Resh. So that's a machlokes Satana. Even though Shin Shin, Tav Tav, Resh Resh is a word, Sus and Tais and Gag, these are words. But still, there's a machlokes Satana. Sometimes you have to have Dafke two different letters. And the third opinion in Tanaim is even Aleph Aleph, that Aleph Aleph does not constitute a word. Still, two olives, but it'd still be mechuyev. So the Gemara has all the different opinions among the Tanaim. The upshot of the whole Gemara is that the idea behind Kosev Shtei Oisiyos is that that constitutes a word. If you only write Oisachas on Hebrew, there are no words that have only one letter. True, in English there is a word I and A, there are words that have only one letter, but since Loshna Kodesh, there is no word that has less than two Shtei Oisiyos, so that's the minimum. That's where the Gemara raises the question: if you write Shem Mishimen, so the Mishnah says Yechayev, so the Gemara asks the Kasha, how can it be? But the Mem of Shimon is a Mem Psucho that belongs in the middle of the word, and if you write the word Shem, so the Mem is the end of the word, and it's supposed to be a Mem Stuma. So how can you say that it's Chayev if you write Shem Mishimen? He misspelled it. How can you say that that's called a word if the Mem is supposed to be Stuma and he wrote a Psucha? So the Gemara says from the Mishnah would appear that if you're writing a Sefer Torah, let's say, and you wrote a Mem Psucha instead of a Stuma, that would be kosher b'di'evet. The Brisa says that it's possible b'di'evet. The Brisa says Chsavtom Ksiva Tama, that if you write a Stuma instead of a Psucha, Psucha instead of a Stuma, that would possible b'di'evet. Psucha instead of a Stuma is another din. When you have an empty space to indicate a new paragraph, so the two ways of demonstrating that it's a new paragraph, one way is you just have a little empty space in the middle of the line, then you start a new paragraph on the same line. The other form is that you have an empty space till the end of the line, you start a new paragraph on the beginning of the next line. So that's a parsha psucha and a parsha stuma. That the Brisa says that that also passels b'di'evet. That also passels b'di'evet. Or if you put a psucha or a stuma where it didn't belong, that'll also passel b'di'evet. That the Gemara says in Menachos that that only applies to a Sefer Torah. That doesn't apply to the other Svarim of Tanakh. That was a big issue when the Vilna Gaon was Ma'orah, that it's not right that we learn the Haftoris from a printed Chumash, we should really learn from a Klaf, and it's not right that we learn Koheles and Shir HaShirim and Echo from a printed Tanakh, we should again learn it from a Klaf. So they started writing Tanakh and a Klaf to accommodate the shul. So when they started writing Koheles on a Klaf, so they copied from the printed Tanakh. And the printed Tanakh, they have all of the Eis L'Dabev, Eis Lachshas, Eis L'Ledes, Eis Lomus. All of these are written in two different columns. The way they're printed, they wrote it in the Klaf, the same way it's printed in the Bible, in the printed editions of the Bible. That it's printed in two different columns with empty spaces all over the place. And in Masorah, we don't have such a tradition that there is supposed to be an empty space. So that's what many Rabbanim were Ma'orer, that you don't gain anything from learning from such a Klaf because it's puzzled. Because you put a psucha where it does, you put a stuma where it doesn't belong, so it passes. Even if you put a psucha b'makom stuma, it passes. Koshken, if you put a hafsaka of a paragraph where there's not supposed to be any hafsaka, that'll certainly pass up to the other. So that's what some time that what do you gain by learning from such a klach that's possible? May as well already learn from the printed Tanakh. It has all in the kudus, and you'll make less mistakes. You make fewer mistakes than if you learn from this puzzle of Tanakh. And one of the Gdolim at that time, who was a Talmud of Rab Chaim Alosh and Rab Yosel Lutzke, he wrote a tshuva where he quoted this Gemara. The tshuva wasn't so complicated. He quoted the Gemara Menachos, Daf Lamed Aleph, where the Gemara says that this Braisa that passels, where you have empty spaces where it doesn't belong, this only applies to the Sefer Torah and doesn't apply to the Shar Sifrei HaTanach. So tshuva hatchila, this is not the correct way to write a Sefer Koheles, but for the evident, it wouldn't passel. They should write according to the Maser, that they're not supposed to be any empty spaces there at all. The Gemara quotes part of the discussion of the story of Nisoch HaMayim. There was a practice in the days of the Beis HaMikdash that they used to do on Sukkot, they used to do Nisoch HaMayim. And the Tanoim all assumed that this is a real din deraisa. The Gemara just has a machlokes satanaim. Is it halacha l'moshe m'sinai, or is it based on psukim in chumash? Does it make it? So one time is of the opinion that Rabba la mizbech and Nisach hamayim halacha l'moshe m'sinai. He puts together three different. He says esenatias. A Rabba la miz esenatias is a din of tosef shvius. That not only are you not permitted to do maleches hakarka during the shnas hashmita. There's a din of masif mechol al hakodesh. You're not permitted to do malachas hakarka a month in advance of shnas hashmita, unless there is an exception to the rule. Unless you have esenatias, unless you have young saplings, young trees that are planted in the proper formation, and if you're not going to do avodas hakarka, it's going to be a makom hefsid. So the halacha Moshe Mitzinai allows you to do the avodas hakarka. So it's very strange. The Gemara puts these three halachas of Moshe Mitzinai together. They're not related. Esenatias. Nisach HaMayim and Arav Al HaMizbech. Arav Al HaMizbech and Nisach HaMayim are both on Sukkot. Okay, so I can understand if you would have a tradition putting these two together. But why put the S and the T's together? That has nothing to do with the Beis HaMikdash on Sukkot. That has to do with Tosef HaShviz. And Eretz Yisrael adding on before the Shemitah year begins. So the Gemara in Tainus explains why they were put together. That just like the Arav Al HaMizbech and the Nisach HaMayim is only Bizman Shah Beis HaMikdash HaYakayim. Bizman she'ein beis hamikdash kaim, you don't have those mitzvahs. There is no mizbeach, and there is no nisach hamayim. So too, the Tosefes Shviyas only applies mitam halacha l'moshe m'sinai bizman she'beis hamikdash hayakayim. Alach ha'achurban, there is no din of Tosefes Shviyas. That's what the Gemara says in the beginning of Tainus. That's why these three were put together. Anyway, so that's one opinion in Tanoim. The nisach hamayim is not based on any drushas hapsukim. There's no way to read it in between the lines. There's no drusha. When the Midrash HaTorah and Reshes Ben, it's purely halacha l'moshe m'sinai. The Rambam writes that's the definition of halacha l'moshe m'sinai. The Rambam writes in the Hakdamah to Pirush HaMishnayos, halacha l'moshe m'sinai means a din that there's no way to darshan it from the psukim. It's only known through an oral tradition. The other Tanoim disagree. So one Tana says Nisach HaMayim is a din deraisa because it says mem and yud in mem. That's how the Gemara quotes over here, Rabbi Yehuda ben Misera. On the second day of Sukkot, it says, Venis Kehem. On the sixth day, it says, Nisacheho. On the seventh day, it says, Kemishpatam. That spells that Mayim. And the other Tana says, no. We know it from the fact that it says, Unisacheho, or in the plural, Vishtei Nisuchem Akasa Bedabra, it says, Bishishi, on the sixth day of Sukkot. Echad Nisach HaMayim, Echad Nisach HaYayim. Yeah. Is there any difference, Halacha L'maisa, whether you hold that it's Halacha L'maisa Nisina, it's based on Mem Yun Bem, or it's based on Unisacheho? So the Gemara in the end of Zvochim, in Perek HaShechet V'amale, the Perek talks about Shchutechut and Mala Bachutz, the two Parshias in the Chumash and Parshias Amor. There's an Issa Shechet Bachutz, Shchutechut V'Shech Karbonus, outside of the Azor, there's an Issa Koreis. And if you Makter Karbonus Bachutz, there's an Issa Koreis. So if a person does both, HaShechet V'amale, then he's Chayv twice. If he did it B'Shegik, then the Mishnah says he's Chayv two Chatois. HaShechet V'amale Bachutz, he's Chayv Shtayim, Shtei Chatois. So the Mishnah, in the end of Zvachim, the Perek HaShechet V'amale, quotes the Machloikis HaTanoim, would there be a violation of Malabachus for one who's Menasech Mei HaChag B'Chag, if he pours Nisach HaMayim on a Bomo Bizman HaBayis? Instead of pouring the Nisach HaMayim on the Mizbeach, he pours the Nisach HaMayim on a Bomo. Would there be a din of Koreis that if he violated it, B'Shegik, he would be Chayv Chafas on that? Is the Koreis or not? So that's up to the Bezen Shalmaila to pass him. That's not our Asik. But Halacha L'maaseh, if there's Koreis, then if you violated the B'shegig, then you have to bring a Chatos. And if there's no Koreis, even if you violated the B'shegig, there is no Chatos. Chatos is only, on the Dovish, there's no Koreis if she goes to Chatos. So the Gemara says that this Machlek is Satanoim, whether there's Chi of Chatos on Mala Bachutz of Menasech Me'achad Bechad, depends on the Machlek is Satanoim, whether it's a Pasuk or it's Halacha L'maaseh Misina. So Tosfos has a lot of difficulty. Tosfos on the bottom of Amud Beis, there in the Gemara, in the end of Zochim, has a lot of difficulty with that Gemara. Why is it totally Zebizeh? But the Rambam in the Pirush HaMishnayos over there writes Lebedik Freilach. He writes a cheerful pshat in the Gemara that punishment of Koreis, Roli Chayv Chatos if there's a Chi of Koreis. You only have a punishment of Koreis on a prohibition that appears in Chumash. If it's a prohibition that's only known through Halacha L'maaseh Misina, then the Rambam says that there is no Koreis. Even though here, the prohibition is mefurish in the pasuk. Malabachutz is mefurish in the pasuk. Just that this carbon doesn't exist in the chumash. Nisach hamayim doesn't appear in chumash. It's only known to Halacha L'maaseh Misina. So the Rambam understands that that's what the Gemara is saying. That if the institution of nisach hamayim is only known to Halacha L'maaseh Misina, then it cannot be that there's going to be chorus if you do it bachutz. But if it's known based on psukim, based on drushes, you're reading in between the lines, then that's then that track that there should be a Nisa Koreis on that. So that's how the Rambam read the Gemara. The Gemara makes a distinction between that first Tana. The Tana says that it's Halacha L'maaseh Misina, as opposed to the other two Tanai. What is the difference, if any, between the second Tana and the third Tana? Where the Nisa Hamayim, if you should assume that it is based on Psukim, is it based on the Mem Yud Mem series of Psukim, or is it based on Unas Socheho? So this, the Gemara in the Yerushalmi, Adalvala Soloveitchik, and the Shiurim on the beginning of Tainis, quotes the Yerushalmi, mentions several Nafkaminas Medina. So one Nafkamina is as follows. There is a din that Uminchasa Miniskei Mafila Mikan Bar Asara Yomi. Let's say we brought the Talmud Shal Shachar today, and we don't have any Yayin to bring in conjunction. You're supposed to do Nisach HaYayin in conjunction with many of the Karbonis, not all, but many of the Karbonis. Let's say you don't have a mincha to bring in conjunction with the Talmud Shal Shachar. So the Gemara says he can bring in the Kanban Asura Yom, he can bring it 10 days later, he can bring it next year. If the Bais HaMikdash is still Kayim, he can bring it 10 days later. If he didn't bring the Korban Oiler today, then it's a din Talmud Shal Shachar, Talmud Shabbat Abayim. That's Allah Abba's mana bottle Korbanah. It's a Korban Shal Mana Kavua. But it's the basic Korban you did bring today, you just didn't bring the Menachas and the Sochim. So the Gemara learns that from a pasuk, afilu mikan bar asar yom. You bring it 10 days later. So what would you say regarding nisach hamayim on Sukkot? Nisach hamayim is also minchasam in iskehem. Is it a din that just like there's nisach hayayin that comes in conjunction with the tamid, so to this nisach hamayim comes in conjunction with the tamid. So if you don't have the water prepared today on Sukkot, You can do nisach hayayin on Chanukah as a tashlumin for the korban that was brought on Sukkot if you didn't do the nisach hayayin. So you can do the Nisach HaMayim as well. A month later, a half a year later, you can do it on Pesach. You can do Nisach HaMayim on Pesach to make up for the lack of doing Nisach HaMayim on Sukkot. That's only if you hold that it's based on Unis or Cheho. B'shtei Nisuch HaKos HaMedaber, Echad Nisach HaYayim, Echad Nisach HaMayim. But if it's based on Mem, Yud Mem, means that you learn that from the Pesukim that there's a Chavis HaYayim. So just like you say on the Tomish Shal Shachar, on the Musafim, Ova Zmano, Ova Yoma, Batul Karbonoi, so the same will be true regarding the Nisach HaMayim. Nisach HaMayim is a special carbon you're supposed to bring on Sukkot, if you didn't bring it today, so far, far. Or another Nafkamina would be, the Yerushalmi has, what if you bring the Nisach HaMayim Balailo, the night before that day of Sukkot? The din is that Nisach HaYayim can be done Balailo. Yeah, that's when you brought the carbon today. You didn't do the Nisach HaYayin today, so you can bring the Mikan, Afilu Mikan Bar Asar Yomim, and Afilu Balayla, you can bring it next week, and the next month, and next year, and I'll designate, I'll say, this Nisach HaYayin is in conjunction with the carbon that I brought a year and a half ago, and I can do the Nisach HaYayin now, Afilu Balayla. What about to bring the Nisach HaMayim the night before the day of Sukkot, in advance? How can you bring it in advance? If you hold that it's a form of Minchas and Niskeim, it's a Nisach that comes in conjunction with the carbon. First you have to bring the carbon, and then you do the Nisach. But if you say no, it's not in conjunction with the Tmidim, it's not like Nisach HaYayin, no, it's a separate carbon, which is Marakavua, Nisach HaMayim. So you can even do Nisach HaMayim before you did the Hakrovis HaTmidim. So there are quite a few Nafkaminas Ladina between these three Tanoim. The three Tanoim didn't say the same thing. Bottom line, they all said that there is a din d'araisa that you have to do Nisach HaMayim on Sukkot. One Tana said it's Halacha Moshe v'Sinai. One Tana said it's derived from Unis Tarcheho, v'shtei Nisuch and Kos Madab. The third Tana said, like Rabbi Yudah ben Maseira, is derived from the Mem Yud Mem. But there are differences l'alacha whether you hold from the first Tana, second Tana, and the third Tana. See, the Gemara points out, as a side point, by the way, there's another nafkamin al halacha. The Tana who learns out the drasha, he holds that this is from the Midrash HaTorah and the Drashas Mem. This is a means of darshining a pasuk. You have an extra mem, you have an extra yud, an extra mem. The first extra mem that you're darshining for the opening mem of the word mayim is a closed mem. It's a mem stumo. So you see that this Tana holds that that's a legitimate way of darshining a pasuk. So the Tana obviously thinks that if he wrote a mem stumo instead of a mem psucha, that would be kosher. Doesn't necessarily follow that the reverse is also true. That's what the Mishnah says. The Mishnah says if he wrote shem shimon yechayv, even though he wrote for the purpose of shimon, you wrote a mem psucha, and for the purpose of shem, you should really need a mem stumo. So you see from the Mishnah that a mem psucha can substitute for a mem stumo in ksiva. Yeah. But this Tana doesn't necessarily, this Tana who darshans mem yud mem, he says that a mem stuma, a final mem, can take the place of a mem sucha, doesn't necessarily have to agree with the Tana in our Mishnah, because one can say that the two mems are on two different madregas, on two levels, and the mem stuma is on a higher madrega than the mem sucha. Where do you see that it's on a higher madrega? Why should you assume that the mem, what originally there was only a mem stuma, and later on they added a mem psucha? No, the Gemara says it cannot be. Ein novi reshala chadish dova miyata. The Gemara has a din that the only novi who was given dinim l'doris is Moshe Rabbeinu, and no other novi can be believed. If another novi comes along and he establishes himself as a novi, he shows us as a mafsim, and he establishes himself as a novi, and then he tells us, I was told in Avuah that you have to do X, Y, Z today. So then he doesn't have to bring osis and mafsim to prove that is the case, as long as he's already been established as the Gemara Sanhedrin and Daf Pei Tes. Avraham Avinu had been established in the eyes of the son Yitzchak as a Navi Muchzok, because he demonstrated Osis Mavsim on previous occasions. So when he brought his son for the Akedah, Yitzchak didn't fight with him. He's telling me to allow him to kill me, he's going to murder me. So he says no, his father was established as a Navi Muchzok, so he has to believe him today, even though the Avraham Avinu didn't bring any Osim Mavsim on that specific occasion. You have to believe it. But that's only because Avraham Avinu says, God told me, O Hayru Ashur, that I should kill you today. What if he's going to say, God told me from now on there's no love of Lord Tzirtzach? So then he'll know that his father's a liar. He's a Novi Hasheker. There is no such thing that any Navi is going to be oiker a din from the Torah the oilam void, or the Gemara says in the end of Sanhedrin for that matter to be oiker a vodizare as a harua shor. These two not. To be oiker a mitzvah ledoris, to change a mitzvah ledoris, even just to change the script, to change the alphabet, to introduce that sometimes you should write a mem stuma instead of a mem stucha. Also, if a Navi says, I was told min hashamayim, from now on you should use this mem the beginning of the word, this mem the end of the word, so you assume he's a Navi Asheker, unless this din once existed and it was forgotten, is just reinstituting the old din. If Shchach and Chazri is them, that's a different story. But if he's saying, Bekoyach HaNevuah, I was told the Nevuah, that from now on the din changed, Mikan al Habba, the din is different, so the Gemara assumes that such a person would be a Navi Asheker. The Gemara says it was always known. It was always known and it was forgotten which belongs in the beginning of the word, which belongs in the end of the word. Shchach and Chazri is them. It just reconstructed them.
You mentioned before about the Tagin that the only time we care about the Tagin is if it's in the context of the sacred Torah, but if it would be the plain text, we would not require the Tagin. So what about if a person misspells the words on Shabbos? Would he be fine to write the incorrect spelling?
He writes Shtei Ois Yois, that only that I mean the one Ois is Mamsha mistake. Probably will not be Chayav. That's what the Gemara sounds like it says. If you all like the Tana Aleph Aleph is Chayav, so you Chayav, even though it doesn't spell out a word. But if you all like this Tana that it has to spell a word, Hashem Hashemin is only Chayav because if you write a mem psucha instead of a mem stuma, it's also acceptable in the Sefer Torah. And if you misspell a word from the Gemara, would it be that you would not be
fine? It's not in the context of the Sefer Torah. It just spells.
But still has to be some word that exists in the dictionary. In the place Grabble, you've got to look in the dictionary to see if such a word exists. But you're also in Hilchot Shabbos, you've got to check to see if such a word exists.
So if it's a wrong spelling, then you
spell it. Yeah, unless it spells another word.
Right.
But it doesn't spell any word, then one Tana would say that you're not fine.
But even if it spells another word, he wasn't intending to write the other.
That would probably be like Shemi Shimon. No. He was intending to write one word, and then he wrote a different word. Some of that would be Chai. But it doesn't spell any word, just a misspelling, it doesn't spell any word. Then the Gemara says that sometime I'm in Halpat, it'll be a Machlek
Satan. Let's say he would be writing in another language, the same thing would be true. It has to spell
the
rest of
the word. Probably. Yes. That's what it sounds like in the Gemara.
For the purpose of the mantra, we treat, at least according to some mantras, as if we're treating the mem and the mem stumah as being the same. So, for the purpose of the mantra, why would it matter if you're using, we're saying that the mem from this word, and the mem from this word, and the mem from this word? Why should it necessarily matter if it's opposed to the purpose of the drasha, since by the gematria they're the same? We treat them as the same letter. It's not that we're saying that a mem stuma is a different letter from a mem tuba. At least for the gematria, we're saying it's a different meaning.
Gematria is the Mishnah says gematrias are just parparois la chachma. It's just a cute thing. It's not for the midrash Atarin addresses them. So just because it's the same letter for gematrias doesn't affect any halachas.
It doesn't say anything about the substance of the letter.
No, we know that the mem psucha is supposed to be in the middle of the word, mem stuma is supposed to be at the end of the word, and there is a machloikis satanayim. What if you'll be mishana? Would it possibly ever? So there are three opinions, the Gemara says. One opinion is either direction possible to the other. One opinion is that if you put a stuma instead of psucha, that's a lui kamalila, that's a higher level of a mem. And the third opinion is even if you put a psucha instead of a stuma, that'll also be kosher to the other. That's how Gemara presents it. There are three opinions in the Tanoim. Yeah, we started to say before, this opinion in the Rishonim that if you write the letter Zion on Shabbos and you didn't write Tagim, that you're not going to be Chayv, that's only on the assumption like those obscure Rishonim. That first of all, that Roshim is not Chayv. All Roshim is Chayv. How can you say that a Kosev Ksav Ashuris without Tagim won't be Chayv if you don't need letters at all? If Rishim is Arosachai. So that's number one on the assumption, the way Rashi learned the Mishnah, that the Chachamim, the Rabbi Yossi, disagree in the whole, the Rishim is not Chayv, only Kosev Osias. Number two, that the Osias have to be Dafke Ksav Ashuras Aksav Yevonis. And number three, that Tagim Amiakiv in a Sefer Torah. We pass in we paskin against the Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam's opinion is that the Tagim are miyakid in the Sefer Torah. And most of the Rishonim are mekel, the Tagim are just lachatzchila, they're not miyakid b'riyevet. Rabbeinu Tam is in Menachos. The Mishnah says, the Mishnah Menachos lists off all the different things, what's miyakid, what's not miyakid. So it says that the Zion Kenei HaMenorah Miyakim Zezeh. It lists off which things are Miyakim. Shal Yad is not Miyakim Shal Rosh is not Miyakim Shal Yad. But the Dalad Minim Shebelulav HaMiyakim Zezeh and the Dalad Parashur in the Tefillin HaMiyakim Zezeh. So it says, not only are the Dalad Parashur Miyakim Zezeh, Afilu Ksav Echad Miyakim. The Gemara says, of course, when Ksav Echad means you're missing a letter. Missing one letter, what are you going to say? Ruba Kekuloi. The Gemara holds that that's a pshita. If you're missing one letter in the tefillin, that is possible. The Gemara says, like tzricha, that you're missing the kutzah shel yud. If you write a yud without a kutzah shel yud, say you're not chai. So there are different pshatim in the Rishonim. What does that mean? You're missing kutzah shel yud. So some Rishonim interpret that it means the leg on the bottom of the right side of the yud. If you don't have that leg hanging down, it just looks like a dot on the page. It looks like a ball. It doesn't look like a letter yud. You have to have something hanging down. Rabbeinu Tam doesn't learn like that, so there are different versions of what the Rabbeinu Tam does learn. So some versions hold that the Rabbeinu Tam learned that it goes on the tag that goes on the top left side of the yud. It has to go up a little bit. And afilu ksavecha miyakim means that that tag on top is nikuva, and this is the Rabbeinu Tam. This is the source of the Rabbeinu Tam that tagim amiyakev in a sefer Torah. So by the letter yud, you only need one tag. And by the letter Shachnas gets, you need three Tagim. So Rabbeinu Tam's opinion is all the Tagim Amiyakim. But then there's a totally different version of the Rabbeinu Tam. He goes not on the coats, on the Kutzah Shel Yud that goes upward on the top left side of the Yud. He rather goes on the bottom on the left side of the Yud. Not necessarily that it has to hang down lower than the rest of the Yud, but it should come to a point as opposed to being round. If it doesn't come to a point, so the Rabbeinu Tam parcels it. So they say like that, so there's no Gemara at all that talks to the Gemara there does not talk about Tagim. The question is this Gemara, did this Gemara say that the Tagim are the Yikuva? So the Pashup shot and the Gemara sounds like you're not Chayim on Shabbos if you're writing Ksar Ashuras, if you didn't write Tagim. So that's wild, it's only Nitan Layam if you hold that Roshim is not Chayim, like the Chacham de Rabbi Yosef according to Rashi, and Kosev is only Biksav Ashuras and Biksav Yavonis, like the Yoza Ruah, and you hold that the Tagim are Miyakev. So if you didn't have the tagging, so it's not Ksav Ashuris, and it doesn't count. That's a combination of very unusual shittas over here. So that's why it would have been easier to read the Gemara, like the other Rishonim said, how the boy is the Yudei. If he's writing the two Zions in a mezuzah where you need tagim, so if you're not tagim, then it doesn't count. You didn't accomplish anything. But if you're writing Stam on a piece of paper, then you don't need tagim in order to be chayiv on Shabbos. Rabbi Cheskel Abramsky offered a totally different translation of the words in the Gemara. Rashi says on the top of Kufay Men Aleph that the word Zayune is a reference to the Tagim. He says that the seven letters Shatnas gets require Ziyun, require Tagim. And the Gemara is talking, does it have Tagim, does it not have Tagim? He gives a different interpretation. He says the Gemara was talking about Netolo Legaga Sholches Basor Shnei Zainin. He converted a ches into two zions. So he's chai mishum kaisim shtei oisiyas. So he raises a question, but does the guy really need the two zions? So that's what the Gemara says, ha-de-boy is a yune. If he needs two zions, he says the word zayuni doesn't refer to tagim. On top of the zions, it refers to the letters zion themselves. If he needs two zions here, then it's a malocha tzricha legufa. Then it's called ksiva. What if he doesn't need any zions at all? He has a letter ches written and he wants to erase the whole letter. So he starts by erasing the gaga of shal ches and he really plans to erase the rest. So he said the moment that he erased the gaga of the ches, he accomplished ksiva shtei zayins and his chai mishtam kosef. So he says, no, he just did the beginning of the mechika. He wants to do the rest of the mechika. That wouldn't constitute ksiva of two zayins. It depends how the boy is the unit. If he needs two zayins here, then mechika's gaga shal ches is considered a ksiva of the shtei yosias of Zion. If he needs the two, doesn't need the two Zions, he started mechika and he didn't finish. He just didn't finish the mechika. Then you don't say that the mechika of the gaga shel ches will constitute a ksiva on the shtei Zion. So Becheska Abramsky thinks that the way he's translating the words, the Gemara doesn't say a word about tagim. The word ziyuni doesn't mean tagim, it refers to the Zions themselves. That's against Rashi and most of the Rishonim. That's a lot of Rishonim learned like Rashi Beferish. The Mishnah says that Kosav al Gabi Ksav on Shabbos is not Chayiv. Is Potter. So the Gemara raises this issue. Is Ksav al Gabi Ksav considered Ksiva or not? So they quote Braiser, which appears also on Masech HaSofrim. Can't really say that Gemara is quoting a Braiser from the Masech HaSofrim. Masech HaSofrim was composed in the days of the Gaonim in Eretz Yisrael, that they made a likut of different brises, and they added on things from the Amoraim. This is clearly not from the Tanoim. It's from the days of the Gaonim. So this brise appears also in Masech HaSofrim. But it's a brise that's quoted in Gittin. It's quoted over here. A person is writing a Sefer Torah, and he has to write Yudkei Bavkei, and by mistake he thought he only has to write the name Yehuda. He didn't think he had to write Yudkei Bavkei. That was mistake number one. Then he makes mistake number two when he's writing the name Yehuda that he thought he's supposed to write. He left out the Dalet, so it turned out that he wrote Yud Kei Vav Kei. But he didn't have Kavanah to be Mekadosh the Shem. So the Halacha says that it's not a good Shem. When you write Shem Hashem, Elokim, or Yud Kei Vav Kei, you have to have in mind. You have to have in mind in general when you write a Sefer Torah that this is a Sefer Torah. Lishma, you need Lishma for Ksiba Sefer Torah. And then you need an additional Lishma when you write the Shem. What do you need? An additional Lishma? Why don't you just assume that it's included in the Lishma of the Sefer Torah? No, because any Shem Hashem, Aleph Dalet Nun Yud, and Elohim, and even Yud Kei Vav Kei could either be Kodesh or Chol. The Rambam points out in the Mor and the Buchim that there's one place in Shoftim and Pesal Micha where Yud Kei Vav Kei appears, and it's Chol. It's a description of the Avodah Zarah. That's very unusual. But all the other shemes for sure. So the word Elohim, there it's also called, it refers to Dayanim. So the word Elohim is sometimes Kodesh and sometimes it's Elohim and it's Chol. So you have to have Kavana to be Koveya, whether in this particular spot that you're writing it, is it Kodesh or is it Chol. There are certain psukim in Chumash and Tanakh where there's a Machlekes Satanoim in Masech HaShvuas and it's quoted in Masech HaSofrim. Whether the word is supposed to be Kodesh or Chol, so it's an afkamina. If it's supposed to be Kodesh, the Sefer has to have that in mind at the time that he writes. And if it's supposed to be Chol, he should have that in mind. And if he had in mind the wrong thing, then it's possible. He wrote a Shem Kodesh when it didn't belong. He wrote a Shem Chol where it didn't belong. It's going to pass a little bit there, but the Sefer has to have that in mind. He has to be Koveya, whether the Shem Hashem that appears over here is a Kodesh or is a Chol. So there are really two different dinim of Kavan and Lishmo. There may be a difference. Rav Chaim Soloveitchik writes in a Sefer on the Rambam and Hilchos Sefer Torah, Tefillin and Mezuzah. There may be a difference. Do you need Amira or not? There is a Machlekes HaRishonim regarding Pigul. The Gemara always talks about Machsheves Pigul. So the Rishonim have a Machlekes. Is that what it really depends on? Machsheves Pigul. The one who does the Shechitas HaKarbon or the coin who does the Kabbalah, the Zrikas Adam, has in mind to eat the carbon chutz l'zmanoi, or a machsheves psui has mind to eat the carbon chutz l'mkomo, so machshava alone pasul, so they say no, machshava doesn't pasul unless you had amir. So Taisus in Bava Metziah, and Taisus in Kiddushin, and every other mesichta that Taisus brings up the issue, and Taisus in Zvachim, and Menachis, and in Psochim, every other mesichta the topic is brought up by Taisus, by Rishonim, there are Gemaras that indicate one way, Gemaras that indicate the other way, so the kids are, it's a machlekes Rishonim. Whether machsheves pigul is to be taken literally machshava b'leiv b'moyach, or machshava has to have b'dibur. Machshava b'leiv doesn't count. So the Rosh quotes the Balei HaTosfos to say that the same machlekes HaRishonim would apply when you need lishma to be machshav something. Let's say you have to write a get lishma. So is it sufficient that the sefer has in mind lishma, or does he have to say how many kesef gets there lishma 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 gesh? He has to say it explicitly. Let's say when you bake matzahs, so a lot of Rishonim say the matzahs have to be baked lishma. So do you need Amira? You have to say we're baking the matzahs l'shma. Or is it sufficient that you have machshava? Or let's say when you tie tzitzis, there's a machlokes HaRishonim whether you need l'shma. So according to those who hold that you need l'shma, do you need Amira? So there are those who would say that you need Amira. If you didn't have Amira l'shma, it would pass a bit, yeah, but that's what the Mishnah Brura writes. machlekes taisis in the Rambam whether kshivas achutim needs lishma, and the machlekes are rishonim whether lishma requires amiris. So if you put two and two together, it should follow that if you tied the tzitzis and you didn't say that you're doing a lishma, it would be possible. There's a tshuva, one of the rabbis, when the Mishnah Berurah, when the Chafetz Chaim is about to print his Mishnah Berurah, so he got haskamas from a few rabbis who are now not so popular. The Chafetz Chaim is more famous than the people who gave the haskamas. But at the time that he printed the Mishnah Berurah, they were big people. So one of them was the author of a sefer, Shaarei Tzion, I think, Shalosh Tshuvos, Shaarei Tzion. He has an essay in his collection of Shalosh Tshuvos. He has a tshuva where he writes that that's unheard of. To say that if you tied tzitzis and you didn't have amira, that the tzitzis is going to be possible, it cannot be. So he has a whole discussion. Why not? Well, why don't you say two and two is four? If you say that you need lishma, machlek is tais in the Rama. Say you need lishma by kshivas tzitzis, and the Rosh quotes an opinion that just like you need amira by machsheves pigol, the pasul of carbon soot, you need amira by lishma to be machsher something. Whenever you did lishma the hechsher, so if you put two and two together, it should come out that if you tied the tzitzis and you didn't say amira, that you're doing lishma should be possible. He says, we never heard of such a thing. It can be, and he works hard to explain why it's not. And the Mishnah Berurah writes that it is, that it does possible the other. The one who gave the haskamah didn't agree with everything that it said in the Mishnah Berurah. Maybe he didn't read everything. Okay, maybe he just read a few pages and he liked what it said generally. He didn't read every single one. So that's a shot. Anyway, so Rav Chaim makes the suggestion that it may be, in the Sefer, may be a difference between Tzivas HaShemus Lishma and Tzivas HaSefer Torah Lishma. Tzivas HaShemus Lishma, that's not really Lishma. Once you have Tzivas Lishma and the Sefer Torah, let's say if you hold you need Amira for Lishma, like you need if you hold you need Amira for Machsheves Psul, the Pasul, so the Rosh quotes the Rabbeinu Baruch Bala Sefer HaTruma, that you need Amira Lishma to be Machshe, something that needs Lishma. So that would require Amira when you start writing the whole Sefer Torah. You wake up in the morning and the Sefer is going to write the Sefer Torah Lishma. So he says, I'm writing the Sefer Torah Lishma. He has a break for lunch, he has a break for Mincha, he has a break for Ma'ariv. So he doesn't have to say Amira again. When the next morning when he wakes up, maybe he has to have another Amira. Maybe when he goes to sleep, that's a Hafsoka. But normally he says, Kol Oisal Das Rishonu Oisa. Since he made a declaration in the beginning, that he's writing the Sefer Torah Lishma. So that Amira follows through on everything. But every Ois, every time you write a Shem Hashem, the Halacha says that you need Lishma, that's a different part of Lishma. That's not another din of Lishma. It's not like Tefillah needs Lishma, like Tzitzis needs Lishma, Aget needs Lishma. Here's not a new kind of Lishma. It's just to be Kaveya, whether the word is Kodesh or the word is Chol. Because these names, Elohim, and Yud Kei Vav Kei, and Aleph Dalet Nun Yud, sometimes appear as Kodesh, and sometimes as Chol. So it's just to be Kaveya. There, the Hasvar in the sense that for sure you would need Amira. It's not a question of an additional Lishma. The Lishma in the whole Sefer Torah covers the Shemus also. It is just to be Kaveh, whether the word is this or that. So usually words are Nikva by the context. Bereshis, Bora, Es, Hashamayim. If you spelled it right, that's Bereshis, Bora. If you spelled it right, here. Bereshis, Bora, Lakim. It's supposed to be Kodesh. So if you wrote it and you didn't have mind Kodesh, it's considered as if you spelled it wrong. So you just have to have a mind. Once you had a mind and you spelled it correctly, Elohim, sure. So it's the right word. If you didn't have a mind, so it's the wrong word. But it's not that word of Lishma, that you need a Hechsher Lishma. It's not that there are two dinim of Lishma. One dinim of Lishma in the whole Sefer Torah, and another dinim of Lishma in every Shem Hashem. It's just, by the Shem, it's just to be Kaveh. See, the Gemara has this funny case. The Sefer is up to a place where he's supposed to write Shem Hashem. And he made a mistake. He made two mistakes. The first mistake was he thought he was supposed to write Yehuda. Then the next mistake was that he forgot to write the Dalet. So it sounds that it has Yud Kei Vav Kei, but it wasn't written in the Shem Yud Kei Vav Kei. So it's no good. That all the Tanoim agree, it's no good. Even though he had in mind, Vayigash Elav Yehudo, he starts writing Parshas Vayigash. When he starts writing Vayigash, he has in mind the Shem Kedusha Sefer Torah. But when he writes the word Yehudo, oh, it's supposed to be Yehudo. That's supposed to be Yehudo. So that's not. Let's say a different place. Even though he had in mind that this is Sefer Torah, when he gets to the Shem Hashem, he has to have in mind specific kavana for the Shem Hashem. That's what's assumed over here. So if he didn't have that specific kavana, so that passes, it's considered as if the word was spelled incorrectly, even though it's spelled Yud Kei Vav Kei, even though it's spelled correctly. So now it's a machlokes hatana, and what do you do? So Rabbi Yudi is of the opinion, Marav Kulmis or Mekacha, Divrei Rabbi Yudi. You take your pen with the ink and you write on top of the letters. Yud Kei Vav Kei is supposed to be Shem Hashem, not supposed to say Yehuda. So you do Aksav El Yon Lishmo. So that word will be considered Kodesh Lishmo. And the Chachamim say, Ein Hashem in Amufred. It's not acceptable. And we pass the Yachve Rab Malachet Kiram. We pass him that it's not acceptable. So here the Gemara has, that's what Tosfos points out, Amar Achizda. The Gemara has a Machlokes HaTanoim. What Nekuna exactly are the Tanoim fighting about? So the simple reading of the Gemara is that the Gemara is suggesting that their Machlokes is whether Ksav Agav Iksav, whether the Ksav Elyon have Iksav or not. Rabbi Yehuda says Ksav Elyon have Iksav. So if you write over the same Moshe as Yud Kei Vav Kei, you write on top of them with more ink, so the Ksav Elyon have Iksav, and now it's considered like the Sefer Torah has the Shem Yud Kei Vav Kei. Before it didn't have it, because you didn't have Kavana Lishma, and now it has it. Now Chachamim disagree, and they hold the Ksav Elyon lo have Iksav. Ksav Agav Iksav is not called the Maisei Ksiva, and call it Torah Kula. So the Machlekes Rabbi Yehuda and the Rabbanim would not only be applicable to a Sefer Torah, it would apply also to Hilcha Shabbos, whether Ksav Agav Iksav is considered Ksiva or not. Then the other version the Gemara has, is no. V'chachamim rem ein Hashem min amufkor. What kind of a lashon is that? Ein Hashem min amufkor. So the Gemara says in Gitna and Dafkov an alternate pshat. Maybe they both agree that ksav agav iksav haviksav. It is considered ksav. But over here it's going to be sloppy. You first wrote Yud Kei Vav Kei without the correct kavana. You had in mind Hashem Yehuda. And then he realizes that he needs a Shem Hashem, and he has it. So he's going to write on top of it with ink, with the same pen. So all the letters in the Sefer Torah are going to be one coat of ink. Here it's going to be a double coating of ink. So it's going to look sloppy in the context of the rest of the Sefer Torah. So what's the din if you write a sloppy Sefer Torah? So it's a violation of Zakel Mianvei. It doesn't possible that he have it. Zakel Mianvei Alpi Pashtus is only a din l'chadchila. How do you know that Zakel Mianvei doesn't possible that he have it? That's the Gemara Sukkah. Daf Yud Aleph and Min Aleph, the Gemara has the Machlokes HaTanoim, whether Lulav Tzarech Eger or Lulav Ein Tzarech Eger. So the Gemara says, even though we paskin against Rabbi Yehuda, we paskin like the Chacham, the Lulav Ein Tzarech Eger, if Lo Yagodoy is kosher, but L'chatchila Mitzvah L'Yogdoy. So the Gemara says, why is it L'chatchila Mitzvah L'Yogdoy? But B'Yevet, it doesn't pass. The Gemara says, oh, it goes like the Chacham, and we think generally Lulav Ein Tzarech Eger, but L'chatchila Mitzvah L'Yogdoy, because they came about it. So why is B'di'evit, why doesn't it possible? So you see that Zekeli Vavei doesn't possible B'di'evit. So Akin, that's Taisis proof, the first Taisis in Gula Bagozo. Rashi over there writes that that sometimes Lulav HaYovish is possible because it lacks Zekeli Vavei. So Taisis, how can a lack of Zekeli Vavei possible B'di'evit? In more than Dafir Aleph and Aleph in Sukkah, it says B'feirish, that Zekeli Vavei only possible L'chatchila, doesn't possible B'di'evit. So here also, after the Gemara and Gittin Dafchav have an alternate pshat that Zakeilu Vianvehu passels over here for the Eved, and that's what the Chachamim are saying, Ein Hashem min Amufcha. Since it's going to be sloppy, so it's not kosher. How can you say like that? So some Achrayim suggest, because it says Zakeilu Vianvehu in connection with the Shem Hashem, and then you're talking about the Shem Hashem as it appears in the Sefer Torah, the Tefillin, or the Mezuzah. So Zekel Vianveyu by the Eged of the Lulav, that's only Lachatchila. Zekel Vianveyu of a Hidur Mitzvah on a Sukkah, around a Talazekel, around an Esrog, whatever, that's only Lachatchila. But Zekel Vianveyu on the Shem Hashem, perhaps that's Me'akeh B'di'evit, because Zekeli, this is the Shem Hashem. That sounds a little bit like a Pshetl, maybe sounds a lot like a Pshetl. So a few Achrayim have that suggestion, that the Zekel Maveo on the Shem Hashem is more serious than another thing. So that's why other Rachmanim have a different suggestion. Rav Soloveitchik, I don't remember him saying over that first suggestion. He used to say the second suggestion that the Mishkanis Yankov has, and the Sefer on Sukkah in the beginning of Lulav goes on Koelos Yankov. So he says you have to say that there are two types of Hidur Mitzvah. Sometimes the Hidur Mitzvah is intrinsic to the Chefetz Shal Mitzvah, and sometimes it's external. Let's say the Halacha says, based on Zakeil Ganveyu, that the tefillin zekel should be pretty. Tefillin zekel? And if the tefillin, are you going to put the tefillin in a paper bag, an old dirty paper bag, so you're going to say the tefillin apostle? That's totally external. So you can't say that it's market to the effort over there. So it's clear that you have two levels of Zakeil Ganveyu. One is that the actual Cheftus Shal Mitzvah should be the Hidur, and one is external Hidur. So that's a Shaila. One can say that whenever the Chisorin aveina mina mufkor is intrinsic to the actual heftu shal mitzvah, then perhaps it even passes b'dieved, like a lulav ayovish. Lulav ayovish, the lulav itself looks ugly. Or over here, ein hashem mina mufkor, the ksav of the sefer Torah itself is ugly. But whenever it's external, then it doesn't passel. But then you have to go into a whole dissertation. How do you determine what's external and what's intrinsic? You're just going to say the tefillin zekel is external because tefillin is really good without a tefillin zekel. And you're going to say that the lulav tzarech eged, the eged is external. That's the only thing that's going to be external. But anything that's intrinsic in the hefta itself, like if the ksav is sloppy or the lulav is going to be yavish, anything that's in the hefta itself is going to be intrinsic. And that's going to always possible by the Evid. Maybe we can even divide within the cases where it seems to be in the Chesed itself, not on some outside Chesed. Maybe some of those are also considered external. So that's what to discuss. Okay, that you got to look through all the different Gemaras to determine when it's considered external, when it's considered intrinsic. So these are the two Pshatim the Gemara has. Yeah. In Gitna and Daf Chof, is the Machlokes Tanakam Rav Yudah whether Ksav Agav Ksav Hav Ksav? Or is the so it applies even to Hilchas Shabbos? Or should I say no? Ksav agav ksav is avad ksav. The machlekes hatanaim only is because of zekeli and ve ein hashem in amufchad. That's what he sounds like. He says, yeah. What do you want to say? That is that there, the Gemara says there's a possibility that ksav agav ksav havi ksav. How can it be? The Gemara talks in Gittin about yo agav yo. It's not called Ksiva on Shabbos. Sikra Gabi Sikra. Dio is black ink, and Sikra is red ink. The Gemara says Dio Gabi Dio is not called Ksiva on Shabbos. Sikra Gabi Sikra is not called Ksiva on Shabbos. Sikra Gabi Dio, if you have something written in black ink and you write on top of it in red ink, so the Gemara says the red ink is not as pretty as the black ink, so that's not called Ksiva. That may be Mochek. That may be a Melocha Mochek, because when you write the red ink on top of the black ink, the blank ink is no longer visible. It could be a discussion of Mechika, the Gemara says. But it's not going to be called Ksiva. If you have Dio, Agabi Sikra, so the Gemara says that's called Ksiva. The Gemara doesn't say it's a Machlekes Satanaim or anything. So how can it be that we're saying that it's a Machlekes Satanaim, whether Ksav, Agabi Ksav, Havi Ksav or not? The Gemara says on the same Zapt as L'Holaday is Ksav, Agabi Ksav, Lo Havi Ksav. Only if you're improving it. If the original Ksav was the Sikra red ink, and you write black ink on top of the red ink, so you're improving it. So then everybody agrees that it's Havi Ksav. So what's up? So all of a sudden over here it's a Machlekes Satanaim, but a Ksav Agav Ksav Havi Ksav. So Tosfos explains there and here, they explain no. If the upper ink is improving it because the lower ink is red, Sikra, and the upper ink is black, so that's an improvement in Mitzvah. Black ink is better than red ink. So everybody agrees to that statement in the Gemara, that Ksav Agav Ksav Havi Ksav, only if it improves it. Here it's a Machlekes Satanaim. Is this improving has to be in Metzius or even in Din? Sounds like it tells the Chakir. What if the improvement, the upper ink, improves it halachically, but it doesn't really improve anything in Metzius? The lower ink is black and the upper ink is black, except that the lower ink was Shaloi Lishma. The upper ink was Lishma. So halachically speaking, you have an improvement. But in Metzius wise, there is no improvement. It's not like you wrote black ink on top of red ink. So that's the Machlekes Zebud and Hachachamim, whether an improvement in halacha is recognized or not. So that's how the Gemara suggests. Maybe that's the Machlekes Satanoim. But a Ksav, Agav, Ksav, Havi Ksav, what do you mean? Of course it's not Ksav. Whether a halachic improvement counts or not. And the second suggestion there in Gittin Afchav was no. Everybody agrees that a halachic improvement is called an improvement, just like an improvement in Metzias, just like the Ogabi Sikra is an improvement, it's called Ksav. So the Shema Tap of Shalom Shema is also called Ksav. But it's a new Machlekes Satanaim, Ein Hashem in Amufcha, it's sloppy, Zekel Man there, sometimes Pasels B'Riyev. The Halacha says that one who writes on Shabbos, Ksav Shein Shol Kayoma, is not Chayv. Ksav Shein Shol Kayoma is not Chayv. The Rambam writes, it doesn't make a difference whether Ksav Shein Shol Kayoma, because the ink is going to fade in a short period of time. All ink is going to fade if you leave it 100 years. But it's going to fade in less than 100 years. Let's say normal people. We discussed a little bit, how much Shel Kayama does it have to be, each Malach, how much? let's say if you cook food in such a funny fashion that if you don't eat the food within the next hour, it'll revert back to become raw. So is that bishul called bishul shel kayamanan? So maybe if that's the normal minhag olam, that you cook the food and you eat it right away within an hour, so maybe that is called shel kayama. Let's say a shtar. So it says in Yirmiyah, you should write a shtar, put it away. Leman yam de yamim rabim. Why does the Torah have to last for over 70 years? Because he tells them, the Rebbe Shalom tells them, no, there's going to be a golden bubble for 70 years. You're not going to be able to use the star for the next 70 years. It'll be relevant after Shivas Tzion. When they come back in the days of Ezra Nehemiah, so you'll be able to dig up your star. So that star is needed for 75 years from now. So that has to be of a lasting nature. You should be able to last 70 years. Let's say a couple gets married. How many people live for 70 years of marriage? That's a long time. If you get married when you're 20, you're going to live till 90. So the ksuba has to be written in such ink that's going to last for 70 years. It's not, if you write an ink that's going to disappear after 65 years, also good. But Yirmiyah Navi, if he's going to write the shtar and it's going to be an ink that's going to only last for 65 years, is no good. That was the whole. So maybe in Hilchos Shabbos also, Ksav Shel Kayama, maybe it's always defined. Every malach has to be Shel Kayama, if you should assume. That's the mission on the next daf. If a person does a malacha, malachtim is kayem, is Shabbos. Where was that mishnah? No, we had it before. Beginning of Habona. Kol ha'oseh malacha, malachtim is kayem, is Shabbos chayav. Is it only by bona? Or does it apply to all the malachas? So the Rishonim had a machlok. So even if you hold that it's a din in all the malachas, based on the pasuk malachas machsheves, maybe in each malacha you have to judge separately how long does this thing have to last. So the Rambam writes that Ksav Sheinu Shel Kayama is only an Issa de Rabbanan, not Shabbos, not an Issa de Reis, and he writes that it doesn't make a difference whether it's lack of Shel Kayama is because of the ink is Shvacha ink, the paper will last but the ink is going to fade, or it's not Shel Kayama, the ink is going to last forever but the paper is so Shvach, paper is going to shrivel up in no time and it's going to disappear. So the Rambam writes in Hilchos Shabbos, in either case it's a lack of Shel Kayama, and it's not a ksiva derais, it's only an isa derabon. Ksav shen shel kayam is only derabon. And Hilchas Gerishin, the Rambam only quotes the Mishnah in Gittin that if you write with ink that's not shel kayama, it's not a kosher get. It has to be ksav shel kayama. Tosis adds on to the Mishnah, quoting a Tosefta, that not only if the ink is not shel kayama, even if the ink is of a lasting nature, but the background is so shvach that it's going to roll up and it's going to disappear. So that's also called not shel kayama. That's what Tosafot quotes from the Tosefta. The Rambam doesn't quote that. So the Magen Mishnah says the Rambam didn't quote the Tosefta. He only quotes the Mishnah. The Rambam only quotes what says in the Talmud Bavli. So that's a little humorous that the Rambam only quotes what says in Talmud Bavli. The Rambam is the one who quotes more extraneous external sources than anybody else. He often quotes Yerushalmis and he passes like Yerushalmis against Bavlis. He quotes Toseftis and he quotes all kinds of Midrashim. We still don't even know Arayim Hazeh, all the Makaris of the Rambam. But the Magen Mishnah assumes that the Rambam is Chaylik on the Tosefta. He doesn't quote it in Hilchas Gittin, so he's Chaylik on the Tosefta. He holds that Ksav Sheinu Shel Kayama is determined only by the ink, not by the background. But here in Hilchas Shabbos he did quote that if it's not Shel Kayama, either because of the ink or because of the background, in either case, it won't be an Issa Deraisa. So either the Magen Mishnah made a mistake, he just forgot the Rambam and Hilchos Shabbos. That's what the Prima Gaudium asked that kasha. Or perhaps you'll have to say that the din of Ksav Shel Kayama, although it's Taka Din and Kolotar Kula and Ksav, it's not called a get. It's not a kosher a get. It's not a kosher a sefer Torah, unless it's Ksav Shel Kayama. But in Hilchos Shabbos, not only is it a din and Kolotar Kula in the definition of Ksiva, and Hilchos Shabbos, it's needed for another reason, because otherwise it'll be lacking in Malachas Machsheves. So only in Hilchos Shabbos would we require that it should be both Shel Kayama from the perspective of the ink as well as the perspective of the background. And in Kol HaTorah Kula, the way the Magen Mishnah understood the Rambam, you only judge based on the ink, you don't judge based on the background. You have to say that over here it's an additional din based on Malachas Machsheves Asratah. That's what we spoke about by Kosher. Kesher Sheinu Shel Kayama, is not only a din in Hilchos Shabbos later in Perek HaKosher. The Gemara says in the last Perek in Erevin, whatever is not called a Kesher Shal Kayama is not acceptable for Tfilin. The Gemara says Kesher Shal Tfilin Halach LaMoshe Mitzinai that you have to have a Kesher. So the Gemara says if Aniva, there is a Machlokes HaTanoim in Masechet Shabbos whether Aniva is considered a Kesher or not considered a Kesher. So the Gemara says in Erevin last Perek, if Aniva is a Kesher for Shabbos, then it's a Kesher for Tfilin. If it's not a Kesher for Shabbos, it's not a Kesher for Tfilin. So you see that you need that it should be Kesher Shal Kayama. So that's what some Achrenim came up, the Avnanezi came up with an Einfall of a Chiddush, that just like in Hilchos Shabbos, you need two parts, Kesher Shal Kayama, that the Tzuras HaKesher should be such, Aniva we paskin is not called a Kesher. You need that the Tzuras HaKesher should be such that it looks like a Kesher Shal Kayama, plus, he doesn't plan to untie it within 24 hours, or within the next, the Gemara has different shiurim of Kesher Shal Kayama. So let's say, but again, to the din deraisa, you don't plan to untie the knot for half a year. Or indefinitely. You don't plan to untie the knot. So let's say a person borrows someone else's tefillin and readjusts the knot because it doesn't fit his head. And then he has in mind that after he takes off the tefillin, he's going to untie the knot and make it back the way it was originally. So the Avdenez has a chiddush that if he plans to untie the knot within the same 24 hours, just like in Hilchos Shabbos, that doesn't count as a kesher. So for the tefillin would also not count as a kesher because the Gemara made an equation. The Gemara in the last parak in Erevin made an equation between kesher shal tefillin, kesher shal Shabbos. It's difficult to have nineza because the shear of 24 hours is a shear by the Rabbanon. That's not a shear on the level of the Raisa. Later on in parak Eluk Shorim, the Rishonim say if you make a kesher al gabi kesher and you plan to leave it for more than 24 hours, that's a nisa de Rabbanon. It won't be a nisa de Raisa unless you plan to leave it for half a year. Or indefinitely, the idea of less than 24 hours versus more than 24 hours, that's very chumer mid rabbanon. So what is Avnei Nezer taking a din de rabbanon, he's applying it to the tefillin, that the tefillin, you won't be able to the mitzvah, unless you have a kesher shel kayama on the level of the rice and the tzuris hakesher, plus you plan to leave it for 24 hours. How does 24 hours make it kosher? How can you take a din de rabbanon, which is formulated lahachmer in Hilchos Shabbos, and be machshir the tefillin based on that? So the Pashto says that you have to say that even though the Gemara made an equation between Hilchos Shabbos, Hilchos Kesher for Shabbos and Hilchos Kesher for Tefillin, it was only in the one area, namely in the Tzuras HaKesher, has to be Shal Kayama. But the fact that you plan to leave it there indefinitely for half a year, that's only needed in Hilchos Shabbos. That's not required in Kol HaTor Kula. Why the difference? So that's how the Pashto is, because in Hilchos Shabbos there's an additional requirement of Shal Kayama because of the Pasuk of Malachas Masheves. And kesher and kol HaTor Kula has to be shal kayam only in Tzuras HaKesher, not that it should be daito lahanicho shama ilomis. That's only a din in Hilchos Shabbos. But in definition of kesher and kol HaTor Kula, the Tzuras HaKesher has to be shal kayam, but not that you have to plan to leave it forever. So that's Rav Soloveitchik said, the name of his father, Moshe Soloveitchik, that he didn't think that the Avnei Nezer was right. It's interesting, in the collection of letters of the Ragachover, someone asked him about this. He said, yeah, of course the Avnei Nezer is right. Adav HaPashut, he didn't see what was wrong. Sateva Dika Chumra. Rav Neri is a collection of Svarim on Rav Kook. He has stories and stories and stories. So he says on one occasion, Rav Yanke Moshe Chalap went to Bnei Brak together with Rav Kook. And the Rav Yaakov Moshe, he planned to go back to Yerushalayim on the same day, so he didn't take his talis and tefillin with him, and he got stuck. He couldn't go back. So the Chazon Ish, the next morning, the Chazon Ish lent him his pair of tefillin, and he told him, and it didn't fit, Rav Yaakov Moshe. So he said, you can make your own kesher, and if you want to be machmer for the Avnei Nezer, so gizantahei, so I won't untie it for 24 hours. So it doesn't say what Rabbi Yanke Moshe held, it doesn't say what the Chazon Ish held, he just has a half a story. That he told him, if you personally want to be machmer for the Avnei Nezer's chumer, so let me know and I'll leave it like that. So they say, with either of them held halacha l'maisa. Okay, what's the list? Mishnah in the Perek, Kufayim and Aleph, is the din machlekes Rabbi Gamliel and Achacham, if you have yediyah l'chatzishir and yediyah l'chatzishir. If a person did a kishir, the person that let's say had a kezais of chela v'dam, and then no dalo, then chos v'ochal kezais chela v'dam b'shegeg, so of course he's chayv tu chatois. Everybody would agree. Why? If you have a idea ben time lechalek, because so the idea is mechayv and lechadas. That's the pasuk that Tosis in Shavuos Daf Dalet points out, the pasuk in Vayikra, in Parshas Vayikra, that says ahodelav chatos ashechato aleho, means lekishayivadalo, when the balo avera has ideas achet, so ideas achet is mechayv in the kapora. And Tosis has halacha lemaisa. Let's say a person is a chatos is not boben ed ben adol. Unless a person is not aware that he violated the chel of adam b'shegi, he doesn't know that he was mechal Shabbos b'shegi, and he wants to be mafresh shachatos, and he says harei zeh lechatosi, just in case I was mechal Shabbos 2 days ago, let this be as a chatos. But he's not aware that it was mechal Shabbos 2 days ago. Then after he's mafresh shachatos, then he becomes aware. Someone brings it to his attention. He did this activity, which is a melacha deraisa. The Tosfos says they think that if the fellow will bring the carbon to the Beis Hamikdash, there'll be makavit. Tosfos thinks it'll be chulam bazar, because the hakdoshe cannot take place prior to the idiyas achet, because chatos is not bob and edvinadov. And the pasuk says in chumash, ahodelav chatos ashechot oleh. After you have idiyas achet, that's mechayv in the chatos. So if he violated, let's say he had a kazais of chelav, v'nodalo v'chazav achal kazais chelav b'shogeg, v'nodalo. So that yediyah is mechayv one chatos, the second yediyah is mechayv another chatos. So that everybody agrees, that yediyah ben time is mechalik. Here's the machlokes ha-tanaim. What if you had the yediyah lechatzi shir? Is there a halacha that yediyah is mechalkos? Or no? Maybe there's only halacha that yediyah is mechayv. So we pask him a chacham epochrim, we pask him that there is a din that yediyah is mechalkos. There is a din that yediyah is mechalkos, but that's only if the yediyah was in between the first chatzis shir and the second chatzis shir. Then I say the yediyah is mechalek. Let's say he ate in two restaurants and they were both under hashgacha, and then no dalo. Then in the first restaurant they gave him chelav, and when he finds out about that, he's mechuyev to bring a chatzis, and he didn't bring it yet. And then they notify him no dalo b'chazav and no dalo. They notify him that even in the second restaurant, which was under another hashgacha, that was also they were serving him chelav. So no dalo v'chazav and no dalo, but there was no yediyah bentayim. That was the machlekes habiyachon reish lokish that we had before, and we pass a chayv shtayim over there also. We pass him that yediyahs mechayvos each yediyah, so we pass him really both yediyahs mechayvos and yediyahs mechalkos. They're both correct. Yediyah mechalekes if the yediyah was no dalo bentayim. Yediyahs mechayvos even if it wasn't no dalo bentayim, even if no dalo v'chazav and no dalo after having violated the second aver. So we pass like Rabbi Yechon, and in such a case is Chayiv Shtayim. Maybe tomorrow we'll start to do the Sugya HaKareya B'Hamosoi on Daf Kuf Hei Mebeis. Okay. What time is tomorrow's regular Shir? What time is davening earlier?